Blog Talk Radio.
Reaching Out Radio International, and tonight's broadcast is In the Word with Sister Pearl. I'm so blessed of the Lord to be with you another broadcast. What a blessing, what a privilege it is. And I just want to thank God for each and every one of you that happen to be tuning in, whether you're listening via the internet or you're listening through Apple Podcasts or on Roku Radio or however you may be able to listen depending on what nation you are listening from and what continent. Just want to say thank you so, so very much for taking this opportunity to spend some precious time with those of us on Reaching Out Radio International. A special shout out to the visionary behind this ministry, Evangelist Montel Fields. Thank you so much, dear woman of God, for all that you do to ensure that the gospel is spread around the world. And I want to give a very special welcome, a very warm welcome to a new nation that has been added to our broadcast on Reaching Out Radio International, and that is the nation of Yemen. I'm going to give a quick snapshot of Yemen just for us to end and know how to pray for the precious people that live in this nation. And then I'm going to pray before we go into tonight's lesson, tonight's teaching, tonight's broadcast. So Yemen has suffered in recent decades from three civil wars, tribal conflicts, and war in nearby countries. Many civilians have died in bombings, including people in schools, hospitals, and prisons. As a result of all of this upheaval, much of Yemen's population has faced food shortages and even starvation in recent years. May the God of peace and justice bring both this to this land of great suffering. May God bring peace and justice to the nation of Yemen. And Heavenly Father, as we just begin our broadcast, we are very cognizant of the fact that without you, we can do nothing that is good. But Lord, as you anoint your handmaiden, as you anoint those of us that are listening around the globe, I pray, God, that you will help our hearing to be in tune with you and what you have to say through your handmaiden. God, anoint me yet another time that I might speak things that pertain to your kingdom, that is pleasing to you, that is in alignment with your will, that is clear, that is appropriate, God. Bless your handmaiden, and bless even more the men and the women, the boys and the girls that are listening in every continent, whether there be in Africa or Asia or Australia, Oceania, whether they be in Europe, North America, South America, Mexico, Lord God, the Caribbean, wherever the people are listening from, God, we just welcome and invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and have your way. Help us to look to Jesus like never before. Dear God, turn our eyes, turn our hearts to you. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So with so many distractions, interruptions, challenges, and just plain times when everything in life seems to be pulling us in so many different directions, what do we do? We must look to Jesus in all circumstances and situations in life. So are you confused? Look to Jesus for clarity. If you happen to be tormented and harassed in your spirit, look to Jesus for your deliverance. He's a great deliverer. Are you persecuted and treated unjustly? Look to Jesus. He is your advocate. Are you feeling all alone and you sense that no one is there for you? Focus on Jesus. He promised never to leave or forsake you. This message that I'm about to share with you is one which will encourage you to look to the only one who not only has the answer to life's dilemmas, but he is the answer for your every need, and he will meet you in whatever condition you are in life. Let Jesus pick you up and place you on the right path. What is the right path? His. His is the only right path. The Word of God tells us in John 14 and 6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. And that me is Jesus. I'm going to read our key verse tonight. It's found in the New Testament, in one of the epistles of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who began us in this great journey and put us on this path, and the one who's going to finish our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I just read for you Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. I'm going to read it one more time. Looking unto Jesus, because tonight we're talking about the theme, look to Jesus. So looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a wonderful encouragement that is. Another writer, I believe this was the psalmist David, wrote in Psalm 20 and verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You and I, and I can say this because I have had the immense privilege of traveling in so many different nations and living in the city that I live in, being born and raised here, I was able to meet so many people from around the world and from different backgrounds and different cultures. Truly, I could never have chosen a more diversified city than the city of New York. I believe there's every nation represented in some way, some form, in the city that I was born and raised in. And, you know, in all of our cultures, we're as human beings, we have a particular thing that we like to do. When something happens, we like to look to see the reaction of other people. If something happens in the classroom and some student is behaving poorly, misbehaving, usually you will find that the other students are not just looking to see what the teacher reaction is, the teacher's reaction, but they will most likely look around the classroom to see what are the reactions of their peers, what are the reactions of their fellow classmates. If something happens in a church setting, if you're in a church building and something unusual takes place, or the pastor says something that's very unusual, or even, God forbid, out of place, you will find that people will not only look at the pastor, but they will look around to see what are the reactions of the other people around them. I know that families that are faced with difficult things or even surprising things or even funny things, they will look to their other family members to see what is their reaction. A husband might look to his wife. A wife might look to her husband. Children will look to their parents, or they might look to their siblings and see what is their reaction for this thing that has just taken place? You and I, we need to, in life, look to Jesus. He's the one that we should be looking to. He's the one that we should be depending on. He's the one that we should want to know, what is his reaction? What is he saying about a particular subject or topic or theme
or situation or circumstance? What does the Lord have? What does the Lord have to say? What is his reaction? What is his response? And so now, with that understanding, you and I living in 2022, we need to be constantly focused and looking to Jesus. That's right. The writer of Hebrews told us, look unto Jesus, the author, the one who started us and put us in the faith, the one who will, by his Holy Spirit, take us to the finish line until the time that we can be with him in glory. Amen. And even Jesus, when he was on, when he came to earth bodily, put on human flesh to live on the earth for 33 years, fully man, yet fully God. This is what he did. He knew that he was about his Father's business, his Heavenly Father's business. He knew that there would be coming a time that he would have to endure the cross, that he would have to despise all the shame and the humiliation that was attached to the cross, because the cross, death by the cross, in the days that Jesus lived, was the most humiliating death imaginable. To be placed, nailed to a cross, to hang and to die. And Jesus knew that this was going to be his future on the earth. And yet he despised the shame. And now, thank God, he is no longer dead, but he is risen. And he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Like I just said, the psalmist, I believe it's David that wrote Psalm 20 and verse 7. He said, look, some people, they don't have the term people there, but they say some trust in chariots. And we're talking about human beings. We're talking about people like you and like me that are made after God's likeness and after his image. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's who you and I have to look to. Not the chariots, not the greatness of our armies. If we belong to a nation, and we all do, we're not looking to the strength of the, you know, weapons that our army has, but we will remember the name of the Lord. Another wonderful proverb tells it like this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. How often are we living our lives, and are we really trusting in the Lord? Are we really looking to the Lord with all of our heart? Are we leaning to our own understanding? Or are we leaning on what God has to say and his word? Then the writer of Proverbs goes on to say, in all your ways, acknowledge him, meaning God, and let God, and he, God, will direct your path. Wow, tremendous promise of God. Tremendous promise of God. Even in the first book of the Gospels, the Gospel according to Matthew, the Lord was asked by his disciples, Father, you know, Lord Jesus, teach us how to pray. And so Jesus taught them to pray like this and to talk to the Heavenly Father. He starts out by saying, our Father, which art in heaven. So in other words, when you're praying, you begin to look to Jesus. You don't pray to saints. You don't pray to something that was made by another human being's hands or something that was made by another human being's imagination. But you pray to our Heavenly Father,
the one who created us. We were all created by God. And he is Father to those that have placed their faith and trust in him. If you have not yet placed your faith and trust in him, you cannot really call him your Father. You can call him your Creator God, because that's who he is. He created you and he loves you so very much. But for you to know him as your Father, that means you have to place your faith and trust and confidence in him and believe what he did through the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And what did Jesus do? Jesus came to earth and paid the price, paid the penalty for my sin, paid the penalty for your sin. When we sin against God, our punishment is eternal separation from God, and it is damnation. It is death. But because of Jesus paying the price with his blood that was sinless, when he lived in the earth, he never sinned. He was never guilty of committing any sin. He lived a blameless, guiltless life. And so his blood was the only blood that the Heavenly Father would accept as a payment, as an atonement for your sin and for my sin. And so Jesus is the one who taught us to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name." So he's saying, look to Jesus, look to God. And then he goes on to say in that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, "Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven," meaning the same way that your will is carried out 100%. Without any argument, without any delay. We want your will to be done on earth. Look to Jesus. And then Jesus taught us to pray for our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. So that means when we have situations in our lives, things that we need to live, to function, to succeed, we must look to Jesus to provide those things. We must look to Jesus. And then the Lord taught us, "And forgive us our debts." Forgive the debts that we owe you, Father, or forgive the debts that we owe other people, and forgive our debtors as we forgive our debtors. Forgive our debts. In other words, the things that we have owed to you because of sin and neglect and going our own way. God, we ask you to forgive us for those things, and forgive us in the same way that we forgive people that have done us wrong. "Lead us not into temptation, dear God, but deliver us from evil." Now, in this world, you and I know that we will be tempted. But we're praying, "Lord, help us not to yield to temptation, to give over to temptation. Help us never to say yes to the devil, but only to say yes to you, God. Deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So, clearly, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, the Lord Jesus is teaching us how to pray and showing us a great example of how you and I must look to Jesus. He's our only help, only one who can help us. Another verse that is wonderful in Psalm, it's Psalm 37 and verse 7, says it like this: "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass." Rest in the Lord. Or I can insert that phrase right there. Look to the Lord. Lean on the Lord. Depend on the Lord. Wait for the Lord. So the psalmist said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You know, when parents have promised things to their children,
you notice how those children just eagerly look to their parents in order to receive that which was promised to them. The same way that you and I need to look to Jesus for what he has promised to us. I love Psalm 105 and verse 4. It says it like this: look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. This is clear. This is a clear command. What are you and I to do? And I started this out at the very beginning of this radio program. I started it out by saying, we must look to Jesus in all circumstances and situations in life. When we're confused, what are we supposed to do? Come on. Look to the Lord. Psalm 105, verse 4. And his strength. Seek his face always. What are we supposed to do when we're being tormented and harassed? And I tell you, people that are not surrendered to God and even claim to be Christian can turn into tormentors. People that just come to your house to literally do nothing but harass and torment. So what do we do in situations like that? Do we look to them, the tormentors? Do we look to them to help us? Of course not. Do we look to those people that are harassing us on our jobs, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our cities, on our streets? Do we look to them? Absolutely not. We look to Jesus for him to deliver us. You don't look to your persecutor to have them deliver you. That's foolish. You look to Jesus, the one who loves you with an unconditional love, the one who has the power to change circumstances and situations. You look to him. He is your advocate. If you feel all alone and you sense that no one is there for you, no one is backing you up, no one understands you, no one is in your corner, who are you to look to? Are you to look to the people who've been shunning you? Are you to look to the people who've been saying all manner of evil against you, who say one thing in front of other people and then tell you something else when it's just you and them? That's evil. And people that are not totally committed to Jesus can act in very evil ways and do very wicked things. We are not to look to people who are wicked for our deliverance. And you might say, well, Sister Pearl, of course. That is obvious. No, it's not so obvious, because 99% of the time, that's what people are doing. They're looking to other people to be the ones to help them. But your first person to look to for help, my first person to look to for help, must be the Lord Jesus. Look to Jesus. He is the one and the only one who can help us. I'm going to give you an example of a story that took place in the Old Testament. And it was, this story is detailed in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. And I'm going to read it for you. It's talking about the bronze snake. Now, this story place with the children of Israel and how they travel from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea. So again, I'm reading from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. They travel from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, There is no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on the pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by the snake looked at the bronze snake, and they lived. Jesus refers to this story that took place in the book of Numbers. Jesus refers to the same story when he's relating and talking to the people in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. And Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." So now let me just explain by the enablement and the power of the Holy Spirit. So this story takes place at a time when the children of Israel were wandering. And these are people that had disobeyed God time and time and time again, just like you, just like me, just like all the nations that are listening to Reaching Out Radio International Broadcast, whether you're listening on demand or you happen to be listening live. You know how many times you and I have gone astray, done our own thing, spoken against God, spoken against God's leaders. And God just got impatient with this. He just said, you know, enough is enough is enough. And the people were constantly complaining, constantly murmuring, constantly backbiting, constantly speaking against the leaders that God gave them, complaining all the time. "There's no bread. There's no water. We detest this miserable food." So the Lord sent venomous snakes. He said, "Okay, since you're going to do that, you know, I'm going to respond to your wickedness." And he sent venomous snakes among them, and they began to bite the people, and even some of the Israelites died as a result of those venomous snakes. Now, the same people who were murmuring against their leader, Moses, then they had to turn around and beg the same Moses by saying, "You know what? We've sinned against you, Moses, and against God. I want you now, Moses, our great leader, pray to the same Lord that we've been complaining about, and you that we've been complaining about. Now we're asking you to pray to the Lord," because, of course, by that time, they felt ashamed to pray to God, because they knew how badly they were behaving. So now they're begging their leader, "Pray to the Lord that he'll take the snakes away from us." And so Moses, being a man of God, loving the people that God gave him to supervise, he did pray for the people. And God told him, after he was praying for the people, God said, "Well, look, I want you to construct a snake. Put it on a pole. Raise that pole up. And anybody who is bitten by it can look at that pole, that snake that's on the pole, and live." And so Moses did exactly what the Lord told him to do. And then when anyone was bitten by a snake, they looked at the bronze snake and they lived. But you know, for years and decades, I was wondering, I did not get the full understanding of what that was and why would the Lord ask Moses to use a bronze snake
as something that the people should look at and then receive their healing. I totally get it now, and I hope that I can share it in such a way that you will get it as well. You and I, when we sin, we need to take responsibility for that sin. We need to acknowledge that we've sinned and not gloss over it. Not, you know, say, oh, yes, make believe it didn't happen. No, we need to be aware of what we have done to dishonor God, to disrespect God, to sin against God who is holy. We need to look at the sin and then repent of that sin. And so by God having Moses create and put up a bronze snake and put it up on the pole for all those that had murmured and complained, and now they were suffering, God allowed them to see that serpent that had come. Now, this was not the real living, breathing serpent. It was a facsimile of it. It was something made in the image of a snake, and it was even made in the material that was bronze, a bronze metal. So he took bronze metal, and he created the snake, and he put the snake on the pole. So the people would remember, how did we get in this place in the first? How did we get in this condition in the first place? It's because we sinned against a holy God, and then God sent the snakes among us. So when they looked at the snakes, and they were, it was like if they were confessing of their sin, and they received their healing. They looked. Now, nobody would get healing unless they looked at that bronze snake that Moses put up on a pole. They had to look at it. They had to come face to face with that thing. They could not look away and look behind, you know, look down or look above it. They had to look at it in order to receive their healing. You and I need to come to terms with the fact that we've sinned against God. We should not, you know, take it lightly, you know, make believe something really didn't happen. No, we need to look at it. We need to look at it. We need to look at it and realize that God wants to deliver us from our sin, cleanse us, wash us, purge us from that sin. And so that's why Jesus said in John chapter 3, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, now the Son of Man must be lifted up. In other words, he was prophesying in John 3, 14 through 15. Jesus was prophesying of the death that he was going to have and that he was committed to have, because he knew that he would be betrayed, that he would be crucified. So he said, the same way that Moses lifted up the snake and put that snake on a pole in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be also lifted up. In other words, talking about the kind of death that he would die, order to save everyone who believes on what Jesus has done. Everyone who believes may have eternal life in him, the same way that everyone who looked on that bronze snake, they were healed. And everyone who looks at what Jesus has done for us, we are healed. We are forgiven of our sin. We are cleansed and made whole, cleansed of all unrighteousness and transgressions and iniquity, washed in the blood of the Lamb and made whole again. We need to look to Jesus. I remember growing up in my dad's church, and we used to sing a song that was written. It's a hymn. It was written by William A. Ogden, written quite a while ago in 1887. And the name of the song is Look and live. I'm going to read the words for you. Here goes the first verse. I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. This message unto you I'll give. It is recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. And then the chorus, or they called it the refrain, goes like this. Look and live, my brother or my sister. Live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. I have a message full of love. That's the second verse. Hallelujah. A message, oh my friend, for you. 'Tis a message from above. Hallelujah. Jesus said it, and I know 'tis true. That was old English. It means it's true. 'Tis true. It's true. The third verse reads, life is offered unto you. Hallelujah. Eternal life thy soul shall have if you only look to him. Hallelujah. And what does hallelujah mean? Hallelujah means praise the Lord in every language around the world. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. Look to Jesus, who alone can save. Don't look at your friends. Don't look at your husband. Don't look at your wife. They've got their own problems. Don't look at your children. Don't even look at your pastor. Don't look at your bishop. Look to Jesus, who alone can save you, can save me. The last verse says it like this. I will tell you how I came. Hallelujah. To Jesus, when he made me whole, 'twas believing on his name. Hallelujah. I trusted, and he saved my soul. Oh, dear one listening to this broadcast, I want to encourage you to look to Jesus. Now remember the story that I just related to you out of Numbers 21. These were some hard-headed, stubborn, stiff-necked people, the Israelites, the Hebrew people, the Jewish nation. But yet, God in his love and his compassion, instead of wiping them all out, he gave them another opportunity. He said, look, of course, when he said to Moses, create that snake that I want you to make from bronze and put up in the pole, it was not the bronze snake on the pole that healed them. It was God who healed them. But he healed them with a condition. For you to be healed, you've got to look at the bronze snake. You got to look at what got you in this position and this predicament and this situation in the first place. And that was sin. Sinning against God, sinning against his servant, Moses, the leader that God placed over them. And so, yes, I want to make it very clear. There was no magic in the bronze snake that Moses had made and had it put on a pole. So God forbid, because I don't want anybody to hear me saying this and say, okay, I know how we're going to get help. We're going to make bronze snakes and put them on poles. That's not what this message is all about. I'm relating to you what God told them to do then. He's not asking you now to make a bronze snake and put it up on a pole, but he's asking you to look at him for your healing, for your deliverance, for your salvation, for your way out to Jesus. Look to Jesus and know that this same Jesus is the only one that was lifted up on a cross
to pay the penalty for your sin and for mine. Remember, he's the only one that God the Father would count worthy to be able to shed his blood for you and for me. The only one. There is no other one. Some of you have got to be very, very, very careful when you go online. I was online as I was working to prepare this message. I was looking for different verses. I wanted to find a lot of scriptures that had to do with God wanting us to look to Jesus for everything that we need. And in looking and surfing the internet, I found that one of the first things that popped up was a cult, a whole bunch of teachings from a cult. But they pretty much outed themselves when they said that Jesus had already returned the second time. This is a group that's called the Eastern Lightning. Another name that they go by is the, I believe it's the Almighty Church of God. They're based in Asia, but now their leaders have escaped to America. They teach a false teaching. It's a cult, but they use so much scripture. But they teach that Jesus has already come back for the second time and that he is living as a woman. This is a lie from the pit of hell. That whole teaching is false teaching. It is cultic. It is demonic. It is not from God. It does not line up with the scriptures. When Jesus returns the second time, make no doubt about it. We will all be very, very aware that Jesus has, he will not be hiding in some corner in the back, in the booth, in the dark. But he will come back for all, every eye to see. And the word of God even tells us that when he does return, those people that loved God and those people that did not love God, those people that knew God, those people that did not know God, no matter what position people are in, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So why are we out on this radio program? Why are we on Roku? Why are we on Apple Podcast? Why are we on the internet, which is accessible by so many people around the globe? Why? Why are we sharing the gospel? Because we're giving you the best news possible. This is the best news possible, the news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you and I look to him, we are transformed by his Holy Spirit. We do not remain the same. Our circumstance changes. Our lives change. Our mindset changes. Our desires change. Our ambitions change when we look to Jesus. To Jesus. Some trust, as I said in the beginning, in Psalm chapter 20 and verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses. But you and I, we will remember the name of the Lord our God. This is not a day to put your trust and look steadfastly at your government. And I am not condemning anybody's government, but governments are run by human beings, okay? They're run by men, and they're run by women that are finite, that are fallible. That means they make mistakes. And many of them are corrupt. Let's just tell the truth. So why would we be looking at them for help. The psalmist David says, I will look up into the hills for where my help comes, because my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. King David knew that his help came from God. He knew this from early. He knew this from a lad. He knew this from a young boy when he was out in his father's sheepfold attending to his father's sheep. And his sheep were being attacked. One time it was by a bear. Another time it was by a lion. And God delivered David both times to literally kill a bear and kill a lion, a young boy. But he was not using his own power. He was empowered by Almighty God, who David placed his trust and confidence in. So you and I, when things happen, don't just look around. Don't just look to everybody else and see, I wonder how they're taking it. I wonder what they think. I wonder what they're going to do. No, look to Jesus and let him tell you what to do if he wants you to do anything. Sometimes he does want you to do something. But other times he'll tell you, be still and know that I am God. There's some circumstances that I'm dealing with, and God just told me, look, just be still. There is nothing that you can do in the natural. All you can do, Pearl, is trust me. Let me handle it, care of it. And time again, that's exactly what God does. He handles it. He takes care of it. Wow. I'm speaking to you that are listening tonight so intently. God bless you for doing that. Perhaps you've never considered looking to Jesus in your whole life because you weren't told about Jesus. You didn't know about Jesus. You didn't even know there was someone named Jesus. And you're hearing me now talk about him. Jesus is the Savior of the world. He is not for one particular culture or one particular country or one particular ethnic tribe or group, human group. He is for all peoples at all times in every situation. I can tell you, as you listen to this message, look to Jesus. I can tell you this with complete confidence, because I know for myself, not just reading about Jesus in a book or listening to somebody else's testimony tell me about their experience with Jesus. No, I'm talking to you about my experience with Jesus, and I can tell you, time after time after time after time, that I looked and continue to look to Jesus, and Jesus is the one who takes care of me. Jesus is the one who takes care of my concerns, those things that are important to me that influence my life. Jesus is right there to take care of every situation. And let me tell you something that is so wonderful. Jesus is right there with you to take care of your every situation, of your every need. Would you do as the songwriter William Ogden wrote in 1887? Wow, that's well over 100 years ago. Well over. It's more like 150 years ago almost. Look and live, my brother, live. Look and live, my sister, live to Jesus now and live. It's recorded in his word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It is only for you to look. Look where? Look to Jesus. Don't look around Jesus. Don't look past Jesus. Don't look at somebody else that's behind Jesus or somebody that's faking it and trying to take the place of Jesus in your life. Don't look at them. Look securely only at Jesus. Because in the same way that that bronze serpent was raised on the pole, and anyone that was afflicted and was bitten by the snake, they looked at that bronze snake and they lived. And anyone who looks at Jesus, the Son of Man that was lifted up, anyone that looks at him and believes, not just looks, believes in him, believes in what he has done on behalf of you, you will have eternal life. And that means eternal. It doesn't mean that you will have life when you're here and then you'll, you know, you won't have any life after. No, you will have life beginning now. Because without Jesus, you and I are just existing. We don't have real life. We're just going through the motion because we're physically alive, but spiritually dead. That's not good. So let me pray with you before we close tonight's broadcast. And it was such a privilege. It was such a pleasure to be able to share the word of God. Look to Jesus. Wow. Look, like Psalm 105, verse 4, look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. This is a directive. This is not a suggestion. This is a directive from God. Look to the Lord and his strength, his face always. Don't look to see what somebody else, their reaction. What was their reaction? Let me see. And based on their reaction, then I'll know how I should react. No, don't do that. Stop copying people. Their reaction is not going to help you. You want to know, what does God say about a situation, about a specific thing? Specifically, what does God have to say? And what would he have me do? Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, thanking you for another broadcast on Reaching Out Radio International. And this one is Look to Jesus. I cannot think of a more beautiful one to look at, honestly, than you, Jesus. No one in the entire universe is like you. No one. No one. No matter how nice, no matter how wonderful, no matter how kind, there's nobody like you. And I want you to help every listener to have the strength and have the desire to stop looking at other people for the answers. Only look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. And for those of you that don't know the Lord yet, will you just repeat after me? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus I come. I understand that I'm a sinner, and I want you to forgive me of all my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. Clean me up, make me brand new. And I invite your Holy Spirit to come and live inside of me from this moment on, in Jesus' name, amen. And if you've prayed that prayer with your sister Pearl, you prayed it from your heart, believing in faith, it's done. You belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to you. So until next time, this is your sister Pearl on Reaching Out Radio International. God bless you. I love you. But Jesus loves you so much more. God bless you. Bye-bye.